Luke 21. It says, and he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury have cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these shall they lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Here's a verse we'll focus on a little bit this morning. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts. Not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judah flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's pause there and pray. Lord, help us this hour. We need you. We might apply this passage however the Spirit of God would lead us this morning. There is great uncertainty and unrest in the world today. There are certainly signs of the time that have appeared that by application of this passage we could see that your return is imminent, that our time on this earth is short. Lord, help us this hour, as has been said in the Scriptures, we'd settle some things in our hearts. That in our hearts it might not be unsettled, there might not be unrest or distress, but that we might settle some things in our hearts according to the Word of God, that we might be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might be watching and ready for the return of our Savior. That fear might not grip our souls. That the spirit or the mindset of hiding and hunkering down until your return might not seize the church. But that with great power and with great boldness we might stand as a testimony and as a witness to the glory of God. until your return. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll go down through this passage a little bit and use a sister passage of Matthew chapter 25 and see what the Lord has for us. But certainly in the text anyway of their day, when the Lord Jesus was speaking most of these words, he was giving them things to look for, signs that were going to come, and most of them weren't good. And he was going to weigh that against what he'd have his disciples to do. Because he said, he's telling them, if you're not careful, in verse 26, your heart's going to fail in that day. Fear is going to dominate your emotions. And you're going to be tempted to look after the things of this life. To get caught up in what's going on and be bogged down by this life instead of that which is to come. The answer for the church was in verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. He says in other passages, just in reference to standing before the Son of Man, that if we deny him on this earth, he'll deny us before the Father. That those that do not stand boldly and publicly for the Lord Jesus Christ are not worthy to be called his disciples. And he was not coming to the end of this text and telling his church, his followers, to pray and watch and stand boldly because of the lack of problems. Again, if standing came at no expense, everybody would do it. We've seen in the last couple of years, the cost might start getting turned up to stand. To stand for liberty or to stand for Christianity. Two things that are not the same, but that our forefathers considered to be inseparable. Twin sisters, liberty and our faith. And in their day, he prophesied to them that they were going to see nations rising against each other. Wars on every side. Food shortages. And we are certainly seeing a lot going on in our world. I'm not pretending to be a prophet this morning. I'm just trying to be a preacher of the Word of God. And other generations have certainly seen descriptions like this unfold in their day as well. And most generations since the Lord Jesus walked this earth were convinced Jesus was returning in their day. We're closer than we ever were, I can say that and be right. We see Russia poised to invade Ukraine. And the U.S. and others doing very little about it. I'm not recommending we send troops and start World War III. But I'm just saying, you're seeing nations rise against nation. I believe in our lifetime you will see the USSR get back together. They are never truly disbanded in theory. You see the leader of Russia, the tyrant Putin, and the leader, the president of China, publicly coming out and pledging an allegiance to each other to stand together against anyone that would stand against them. There's some nations getting together in a prophetical way. We see in many nations, including ours, patriots versus tyrants arising. Inflation and shortages. Verse 11, he says, great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Different places are going to experience natural disasters where they hadn't experienced it before, necessarily. He said, in famines, food shortages, pestilences. Pestilence basically is a disease that affects an entire population. You say, well, this wasn't as bad as what they would have us to believe. It's affected the entire population, whether you caught it or not. And I think what we just saw, logically, was a test run of what is to come. What happens when something is released or something does come on the scene, intentional or not, that doesn't have a 0.04 death rate, but has a 40% death rate. We saw the world brought to her knees economically and spiritually over a virus that 99.9% of people lived from. What happens when it's the outbreaks of yesteryear and people are dropping like flies? How fast the masses would line up to do whatever the experts tell them to do. Not against science and all that. I'm pro-science. Very. Science is something that you can recreate and demonstrate in a lab over and over and over and get the same result. Science doesn't change. Verse 12. He says, before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. He said, in that day, you're going to see a lot of arrests, if you will, imprisonments of those who dare speak the truth. In spite of all that was going to take place, he says in verse 13, it's for a reason. It shall turn to you for a testimony. He's handing his believers an opportunity to stand in a way perhaps they've never stood before. To with substance live and prove their gospel story, their own testimony of what they have claimed for years to possess. He said, here's an opportunity, we're going to find out. And you will be brought to places and given opportunities to stand and testify for the Lord Jesus Christ where you may have not gone before willingly. Say that to Paul. Tell that to Pastor Lawler and others in Canada who were just arrested for the fifth time. And while we are enraged, they are embracing opportunities to witness to jailers and judges that may have never got the gospel other than by their arrest. In all of that, in verse 14, he says, settle it therefore in your hearts. There are some things that need to be settled in the heart of the believer. There needs to be, we can say it this way, a settledness in the heart of the believer. If he's saying, let your hearts be settled, I would say that implies that they're unsettled. If our hearts are to be at rest, it means they are in unrest. John chapter 14, of our hearts are not to be troubled. That would imply that he sees there's some trouble in our hearts. Because in verse 26, again, he says, you're going to see this, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. He said, when everything you know or think you know about heaven and earth is shaken to its very core, if you don't have some things settled in your heart, verse number 14, there is going to be a great falling away as fear seizes the minds of man. And a great falling away of the church from the things of God to being obsessed with the things of this world. It's got to be a settledness. Let me just try to give us three things this morning in verse number 14 that should be settled in the hearts of God's people. Because if you read down through verse number 14 and 15, he's talking about he's going to, in this particular, in the context, he's going to give them the words to say, etc. By application, it would seem in this text of I'll give you the words to say, in verse 26, don't fall away in fear, don't get caught up in this life, that there is a great proclivity amongst even God's people that I must have the words to say, I must have the outline and the alliteration, I must get all the ducks in a row, I must make all the, look at all that's going on, nation against nation, and Ukraine and Russia and China, and the pestilences and the plagues and the famines and the shortages, I better make sure that I get all my ducks in a row or things aren't going to turn out okay. God said, come on, let me to settle this. He said in verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. I'm not against planning and preparation, don't get me wrong. Not saying go hide in a bunker somewhere and what's the point in investing in anything, buying anything, setting up anything. Even God's people should have common sense and logic. But in these end times, I believe that the church of God ought to be marked by faith and not by fear. That the hearts of the believer are going to have both. We have fear and we have faith at times. Which are the children of God going to live by in these last days? We must have things settled in our hearts according to the scriptures, or we will fall away in fear, verse 26. Things settled in our hearts that we know it is rooted, it is settled, it is grounded. This has been taken care of. This is what I live and die by. Or I'm going to get caught up in all that's going on and be bogged down by the cares of this life. If I can just give us a more of a topical message this morning. If you go to Matthew chapter number 25. Number one, what should we have settled in our hearts? You must have. Your salvation settled. We'll get back to Luke 21 here in a few moments in the context of it, but trying to apply this where the Lord Jesus said, if you're going to stand, you better have some things settled. Then let's start by introduction saying we better have our salvation settled. You better have this thing settled in your heart, settled in your spirit, that I know I'm a born-again child of God and I don't doubt it. Not because my heart doesn't try to condemn me, it does. Not because my past doesn't try to throw things up in my face, it does. But I have it settled in my heart, I am a child of God because I obeyed the gospel. Matthew chapter 25 gives us a reading of 10 virgins. Some that were foolish and some that were wise, some that were ready, some that were not. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh! Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There are those that would use that passage, I'm sure, and say that the wise and the foolish were all believers. Some that lived ready for Christ's return, some that did not. It would be my opinion that is not the primary teaching of that text. It's my opinion. That when he comes back in those 5, I think it would be a biblical opinion. And the 5 wise are brought into the marriage and the door is shut. That is a sign of eternal salvation versus those that are on the wrong side of it. They put out the call. They knew that preparations were being made. The contract had been signed. The covenant was there. They were to occupy, to watch, and to wait for the return of the bridegroom. He was gone to make preparations. And all this, they were told, these virgins that are pictured here, mankind was told, the day is coming, that the bridegroom comes, and those that are found with oil in their lamp shall come into a marriage supper, and those that are not found with oil in their lamp shall be shut out permanently. And they were there, and they waited until the cry went out, he's coming! And they said, oh no, our lamps have nothing in them. Nothing wrong with the lamp in and of itself. I'm sure they looked like every other lamp. I'm sure they were shiny. I'm sure they were clean. It says they even trimmed their wicks like all the rest of them. But they were missing something inside the lamp, the precious oil that is the life of the lamp. And more than we ought to be, and I'm concerned. And if the day comes where our life and our liberty is threatened, then this is one preacher who will lay down the clergy robes and pick up the Second Amendment and defend you to the death. That is scriptural as well. But more than I'm concerned with Ukraine and Russia and China and what is going on, God, you better get it settled. Am I born again or not? Do I have the presence of the Holy Spirit within me or do I not? Not do I look like every other Christian. Not do I sound like every other Christian. Not do I do the works and trim the lamps like every other Christian. Do I have the presence of the Holy Spirit deep down inside my spirit or do I not? These virgins, these foolish said, we've got time. Yeah, he said he's coming back, but I doubt it'll be tomorrow. We've been saying it for a long time. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. Let's get a good night's sleep and we'll do tomorrow what we did today and we'll do the next day. And before they had a chance to prepare, before they had time to change their mind, the call went out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. There's another cry coming out to the world in just a little while. It's called the trumpet of God and it's going to sound and the church of God is going to be caught away. Those that sleep in Christ first and then the rest of us to join them in the air at that moment. The door is shut. You say, I've got time. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." You say, "I'll do it later." We have far too long, if you're here today, or if, let's just talk about us, if we're here, it's between us and God personally, that we have looked the part, sounded the part, acted the part, because we've been in church for so long and we've seen it. Our grandparents perhaps were saved. Our parents were saved and members of this church or a good church. And a lot of young people in our church, children and teenagers, maybe some adults, and they know how to look the part and dress the part and talk the part and act the part. And we say, "I'm okay with God as long as my performance fools the audience." It'll never fool God. The book of Hebrews still says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We must have it settled in these last days. Am I a child of God or am I not? It's more important than all of these signs that are going on in Luke 21 and other passages of the end days before the Son of Man steps out. You'll never stand in the last days for Christ if there's no life inside your spirit. If you have not been born again to the family of God, you are still spiritually dead. You are still a child of your father, the devil. You are still headed for a sinner's hell. Hell wasn't created for mankind, it was created for sinners. And the sinner was Satan and those angels that fell with him and tried to defy God. That's the only place sinners can go. If I have not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and put my faith in Him, I'm still a sinner before a holy God. If I have, I'm not a sinner before God, I'm a saint. But we better get it settled, our salvation. Number two, if you go back to Matthew 25, or you might still be there, not only should salvation be settled in our hearts so we might stand by faith and not by fear in the last days, but our servitude should be settled. See, what are you saying? We better have it settled in our hearts who and what we are. We are simply bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are simply servants who have been entrusted with things by a master to be faithful with, to use appropriately until His return. Matthew 25, after that reading, we just read about those virgins we see in verse number 15. Verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that hath received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which hath received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You get the idea in this reading of this story, this picture the Lord Jesus is telling again. The master comes and says, I'm leaving and I'll be gone in an indefinite period of time, but it'll be substantial. Here's 10 talents for you. It's an amount of money. Here's 5 for you. Here's 5, 2, and 1, you should say. Here's 5 for you, 2 for you, 1 for you. You do what you think the master would have you do with it in my absence. And the first two, they put their hand to the plow and they get busy about the business of the master. They have something to show when he comes back to have a reckoning. That last one is so seized by fear, he cannot bring himself to even put the money in the bank to get interest. But he digs a hole, he buries what God has entrusted with him, and he hunkers down in the spirit of fear until the master returns. And the master rightfully is angry, saying, you know me. You knew time was short. And you took what I entrusted you with and you hid. We better get it settled, our salvation, but we ought to have our servitude or our servanthood settled as well. By application, that God has given every one of us a measure of time on this earth. We know not if it might be a span of just a few years or a span of 80 or plus. He has given everyone our word talents, not the same word here, but a measure of talents according to His will. Gifts that God gives to believers that can be used. He's given us not just time and talents, but He's given us treasures to use here on earth. Contributions that can be made. You say, I don't even have 2 cents to rub together. We just started out Luke 21 a while ago. I said, Lord, why are we reading that text as part of the whole thing? But I felt He'd have us to. It said something, it meant something to the Lord Jesus. When all of the well-to-do of the land would come out their big money bags and take a bag of money and drop it into the money box at the temple and say, I can afford to give that to God. It's not going to hurt me at all. And God said, I'll tell you who gave a lot more than all that was the widow that came by and said, but that's all I have left. And how am I going to survive if I give that to God? And Jesus said, did you see that? She just gave more than them all. She gets it. She knew what it meant when the Lord told others, if you have food and raiment, be content. I'm talking to me like I'm talking to you because I'm one that says, Lord, help us. We're 7 people in a single wide trailer. We're not going to make it till spring. Heat, yes. Food, yes. We're going to kill each other before spring. No. And then you remind yourself by these texts and passages that God said, I've given everybody what I would have them to have of time, of talents, and treasures. We know our master as well. And he's not a cruel master, but he is a master that wants all men to be saved. We know time is short. We know that the return of Christ is imminent. The plagues are there. The pestilence is there. The wars are there. The nations are there. He even says in Luke 21 and other passages as well, it's going to be the parents turning against the children and the children against the parents. That families are going to be divided like that. And mark it down, what we have seen in this nation is kids' play compared to what is coming. To what comes in these last days when you see family turning against family will make the Civil War seem like toddler school. When boys and girls, boys and cousins and nephews and dads lined up and fired against each other to protect state rights against federal overreach. That's dangerous to say in the North. He said, the day is coming. We've seen it. Hotlines were set up. We got a little taste of it. Where family members saying against family members, I better call this in and let them know that they're out sick or they're not going quarantining or they're not taking the shot or they're not doing this. You watch how fast this world gets turned on its ear and how fast a mother turns on her daughter or how fast a son turns against his dad or brother against brother. You say it won't happen in my family. It's going to happen in a lot of families. This world is going mad. We have become untethered from reality. And Jesus said, you better have some things settled. And I would submit, one is you better have your salvation settled. You ought to have your servanthood settled. That I see myself for what I am. I know my role in all this is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I do know my master is on the way. And I do know the heart of my master. He's not a cruel, unkind master. He's a long-suffering master who said I'd have all men come to repentance. So if I know my master like these servants, and I know time is short and he can appear at any moment, how can we bury and suppress what God has entrusted to us? How can the church of God in these last days hide and squander opportunities to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I've got a work for each to do. Take your time, your treasure, and your talent and get busy doing something until you hear, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Spread the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just say, it's so bad out there. If we go out and take a stand, they might throw us into a lion's den or throw us into a fiery furnace. Let's bury this into the ground and just hope that nobody sees us before the master comes. Church of God, arise. We are servants of Christ. We've got to have it settled our salvation back there. And I guess we won't really read 21 again. Our salvation, our servitude, but our safety. We better have it settled in our hearts where our safety lies. I say we because we probably are. We're worried about what we see going on. Our brothers to the north are standing and suffering. If reports be accurate, Windsor may have fallen this morning. Ontario, that particular region. As men and women in uniform of law enforcement kind stand and say, we don't want to do this, but we're simply doing our job. Don't fall for that. That's hogwash. I respect the police to the nth degree. My brother is a cop. I have a long history of being in security uniforms of my own. But when it comes down to doing that which is right, that is not dictated by what is on your chest, but what is in it. Well, this uniform says I have to, then take the uniform off. And our brothers around the world are suffering. Again, I've said this throughout the whatever's going on the last couple of years. The only reason we are even addressing these matters in the West about suffering and persecution is because it's getting closer to home. It's been going on in other parts of the world since the days of Christ. And the Christians in the West have slept during the martyrdom of our brothers and sisters and the suffering around the world of those that would stand for the Lord Jesus Christ because it was far enough away to ignore it. As those that sit amongst us who have traveled the world, who have seen believers huddled in hidden houses and in homes and in places, just trying to scratch out a living, just trying to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to the West for decades saying, don't you care? And now the West cares because it's knocking at our door. But we get to get settled where our safety comes from. Either in our day is what we see unfolding, evil men that are around our land and others back down, or more good men must stand. I have no confidence in evil men backing down. They're going to wax worse and worse. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. You say, you're trying to preach a revolution this morning? Not at all. But it wasn't just a couple hundred years ago where the pulpits of this nation were aflame with righteousness. That we will stand for life and for liberty according to the dictates of the scriptures. And we will not go and start an offensive campaign and not advocate for violence and not try to promote overthrow. But we will defend what God has given us to defend. And if evil men will not back down, then good men must stand more and more. I'm bothered by what I'm seeing. We'll get back to the believer because everything should be scriptural based. I'm not trying to stray from that at all by giving us current event illustrations. I'm bothered by what I'm seeing. And I am not a bigot or a sexist by any stretch of the imagination. I know if I was to say certain things about gender roles in the scriptures, part of the church and all of society would say, oh, you look down on women and children. Not at all. I don't think women are inferior to men at all. But they have been designated for specific roles just like men have. And just like children have in the home. And if everyone does what God has told them to do according to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, things would be just fine in the home and in the church. But even just watching, and I watched a chunk of it yesterday, the live streams unfolding in Windsor, Ontario, and the bridge that's been shut down between the borders. You say, what's your opinion of that? Let's not go too far into that today, because I'd love to be there. They know the hearts of these men and women in police uniform do not want to break up these crowds. They do not want to use violence against these protesters because they know these protesters are in the right. But as those lines of police officers were forming and they were marching yesterday across the streets in their shuffle, trying to drive the crowds back, the cry was going up in the live stream, send the children to the front. Send the children to the front. And they had their children there, like I'd probably have mine there too, because these men and women in blue, who they love their jobs, are less likely to use violence against the elderly and against children. But that bothers me. There was a day where free men stood between loved ones and war's desolation. And I appreciate the Deborahs and the ladies and the children that are making a stand for right in these last days. Where are the men? There's a handful of them, but it is high time in this land and other lands around this world that men get some grit in their crawl and get a backbone where it's intended to be, and they take an uncompromising, unapologetical stand for what is right and what is wrong. And then I watched a guy live stream this morning just a few moments saying, we need help. Windsor has fallen. The police have come in at 5:30. Everybody has fled. There's only 30 or 40 people left, and they're all going to get arrested. And he's walking away as he's live streaming. I'm not trying to judge him too hard because I'm not there. And he's talking to the screen. He's basically saying the ones that are there are the diehards. They're willing to go to prison because they believe that is the cost that they should pay. Unfortunately, I and others have a wife and children at home that we must go back to. So did our forefathers. They were married men with children, men of prominence, men of great business, of great intellect, of great stature, who said, we will give everything for this cause of right. You say, what does that mean for the believer? You must get into the scriptures and have the Spirit of God lead you to what is right. And decide that I'm going to stand for what is right. And I'm going to do what's right until the stars fall. And if the day comes we step out and the stars are falling, then we still do right. Not pragmatically. You say, what does it mean to be a pragmatist? It means I consider what I'm going to do based on the end result. Well, this is how it could turn out, so I better do this because I don't want that to happen. You either do right because it's right or you don't. You say, that sounds good, but that's a scary way to live. Till you just simply do the next right thing. And you just stand for right, you keep doing what's right, and you don't change because of society, you don't change because of pressure, you don't change because everybody else does, you don't flee because everybody else does. There was a whole lot of pressure on Nehemiah, I'm sure, as well, to just meet with these old boys in the plain of Ono, just compromise a little bit. And Nehemiah's response was, should such a man as I flee? You say, there's great danger in that. No, we must get it settled. Not just our salvation and our servitude, we must get our safety settled. Our safety does not lie in ourselves. Our task is to do and to stand for what is right. His job is tasked with our protection. And if he grants it like we think he should or he doesn't, he's right. Luke 21 verse 14 says this again. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You say, that doesn't sound very good. It's not very appealing. Until you include verse number 18. For there shall not a hair of your head perish. Not saying we won't have to suffer in the last days, that some of us won't be imprisoned, some of us won't lose our jobs. Hey, there's several of us here this morning. We've already lost our jobs for standing for right. That we won't see people imprisoned and persecuted and some put to death in the last days. If history repeats itself when a nation turns over to communism, the only way they can do that is to silence, imprison, or execute all the voices of right. But he says here in Luke 21 and other passages, not even one hair of your head is going to perish unless it has my permission to do so. Nothing gets to you, comes to you, can hurt you, can do anything to you without the divine permission of Almighty God. If you go to Psalm 56, we'll be done. Psalms chapter number 56. Just trying to help us this morning. We need to do a heart check and a home check. What do I have settled? If I'm not going to give in to fear and get caught up in this life but live for the next, I've got to have something settled. I better have my salvation settled. I better know that I'm saved, that I'm born again. And if you don't, someone can help you today, not tell you the Baptist way. I don't care about the Baptist way. Tell you what the Bible has to say about eternal life. About our servitude. That I'm just going to live out these last days as a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a faithful servant to do what's right, and about our safety. It doesn't lie in mankind or in myself. It lies in God. In Psalm 56 here, here's a chapter that David puts together, just a few verses, when the Philistines have captured him and have taken him to Gath. Psalms 56:5-6. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. They wrestle my words out of context. They make them mean something that I didn't say. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. That has to be a conscious choice of the believer. Not to live by, do I feel scared today? Do I feel worried today? But I'm making a choice. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Several times here in this passage, without going deep, he talks about praising God and praising the Lord with his word. In Luke 21, all these things that Jesus talks about, the signs that are coming, the wars, the pestilences, the plagues, the earthquakes, he says this in verse 22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. The psalmist said the same thing. Jesus is saying the same thing. What we're seeing going on has not caught God off guard one bit. God is not sitting in heaven and saying, oh my, I didn't know they would do that. Oh no. Oh, there's a plague in the land. There's an economic crisis. There's a food shortage. There's wars about to break out. Gabriel, Mike, what are we going to do? The Lord Jesus said, when all these things start to happen, you know something is happening, and it is this. What has been written is being fulfilled. The word of God has been right from the beginning to the end. What God has declared is what is coming to fruition. This world would be wise, the churches would be wise to realize there is answers for the questions of today, there is hope for the problems of tomorrow, and it is in the Word of God that He has the answers. He has told us what is going on, and He has told us we ought to be settled. There ought not be unrest in the heart of the believer that dominates, but a settledness about our salvation, our servitude, and our safety. Psalm 20 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And he says it in the end of chapter 21 of Luke, watch ye therefore and pray always. So what are we to do? We are to be a people of this book, a people of prayer, and a people of faith. That like others, we have fear and unrest and an unsettledness that comes upon us, but that we have a quick return to the precious Word of God, and we have a settledness that I am a child of God, a settledness that I am simply a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a settledness that my job is to watch and to pray and to do that which is right, and my safety lies in God. Whatever He allows is by His divine permission. We'll pray and break for lunch, like many preachers of the 1770s used to say, to sum it up. Trust God and keep your powder dry. I know we don't muzzle load anymore, but they were going to pray like everything depended on God, and then they were going to work like a lot of it depended on their obedience to truth. Trust God and keep your powder dry. Let's pray.